An IEEE slide tape lecture presenting Mr. Merrill Palmer of Central Lab Semiconductor Operations, El Monte, California, speaking on opto-hybrid integrated circuit photosensitive devices.
I'd like to discuss with you this morning the approach of combining in the same package thick film hybrid circuitry with photosensitive devices. This has some inherent advantages in a number of applications such as encoders, card readers, control applications, and even optical character recognition. And we'd like to consider some of the characteristics and advantages of these devices at this time. In general, photo devices require a conditioning or some type of amplification, digitizing of their output. Historically, this has been done primarily by the systems manufacturer. And the early photosensitive devices, at least silicon devices, were primarily operated in a photovoltaic mode. And a photovoltaic output, as our previous speaker has indicated, has a voltage on the order of half a volt, not really enough to directly drive a silicon transistor. So it's been necessary to provide some type of amplification and other signal conditioning in order to get usable logic levels from these output signals, whether used as a card reader or whatever digital output application might be involved, or if it were being used linearly, we still are talking about a very low signal level and will require some amplification and signal conditioning. More recently, there has been improved communication between systems people and device people, such that we don't have to constrain ourselves to devices which were originally, or which spun off from a technology originally optimized for power output in a photovoltaic mode, as a space solar cell had been. And we find silicon devices which are being optimized as far as the device trade-offs are concerned for operation in the reverse bias mode. This gives us an acceptable voltage swing as far as transistor drive is concerned, but still it's normally the case that signal conditioning is required. Phototransistors, with their inherent gain, provide a heftier output signal, but in many cases, either because of speed or non-uniformity among multiple segments or some other operating characteristic, again, signal conditioning must be employed. The combination of, or control, of both the photo device and its associated circuitry by a single manufacturer optimizes facilitates the opportunities for optimization. The next slide depicts in diagram form some of the functions which hopefully will be accomplished by our interface circuitry. If we take as an example a punch paper tape reader, a hole in the punch paper tape will be detected as radiant energy from the light source falling upon the photosensor. The output signal of the photosensor must then be amplified, digitized, and if necessary, given an appropriate rise time to be directly compatible with the logic levels which we're concerned about in our computer that we want to tell of the hole in that particular tape. This type of circuitry could be used, and certainly discrete circuitry has been historical here, but thick film hybrid circuits have merit on their own in a number of applications. Among the advantages of, or at least potential advantages of, hybrid thick film circuitry is a miniaturization factor. The component density and the size and weight can almost approach that of monolithic circuitry without giving up the design freedom, the flexibility, and the ease of prototyping, which would be sacrificed to go all the way to monolithics. Frequently, a thick film hybrid circuit will be of size and weight less than 1/10 the discrete counterpart. And in the case of combination with sensors, this is an advantage because frequently it's possible to put the circuitry right in the package that was previously used only for the sensors. And by having this conditioning circuitry right at the sensor, we eliminate noise pickup problems by which result from trying to transmit low-level signals long distances in an electrically noisy environment. Design freedom includes considerations of being able to go directly from discrete prototype to thick film circuit in many applications. Functional trimming is possible where necessary and is highly advantageous in combination with photosensitive devices, especially in multiple arrays where we may have interest in matching channel sensitivity and similar trimming operations. Hybrid thick film lends itself to relatively short time, relatively low cost prototyping. Certainly, this is true compared to the generation of a monolithic integrated circuit. In many cases, cost can be competitive, especially if you consider the cost of procuring and stocking and handling discrete parts as well as their assembly. And of course, the hardware of a discrete system is a consideration here. Thick film hybrids have been recognized as being a reliable approach to circuitry. Their elimination of bimetal contacts, cold solder joints, and other things frequently troublesome in discrete circuitry are advantageous. And certainly the user convenience of being able to have a complete and functional subsystem is a consideration. So it would seem that there are indeed a number of distinct advantages of combining photosensitive devices and thick film hybrid signal conditioning circuitry to provide a functional subsystem integrated photosensitive devices and their circuitry. An example of the application of this approach might be card readers or tape readers, but certainly we can recognize a number of features from our prior discussion of hybrid circuitry itself. The compact size, which includes both the sensor and the amplifier, makes it possible in many cases to retrofit an existing system with the same package size as previously employed for the sensors only. You get a directly compatible digital output. High sensitivity is possible because of the internal amplification. Location of the amplifier right at the cell eliminates noise pickup problems. Choice channel-to-channel matching can be obtained. Because both the photocell and the circuitry is controlled by the manufacturer, and because of the possibility of functionally trimming the hybrid, high switching speed can be obtained through the elimination of lead inductances and other problems which might detract from that. Examples which we'll briefly consider of this approach to a photosensitive subsystem include the three devices shown here, a 14-channel tape reader, or actually 12 data channels plus beginning and end of card sensor, a 9-channel tape reader, and a single device for position and motion detection and other such applications. These devices all employ a common circuit. The circuit shown in this slide is a circuit for positive logic. In other words, the output is high in the presence of light. The device used as a photosensitive element in this case is a photodiode, which has been specifically designed and optimized for use in applications such as this. Typically, the chip is 50 by 50 mils, and the diode characteristics will be reviewed in the next slide in just a moment. But with the diode dark, it essentially is non-conductive, and we find current flowing through transistor Q1 through the base resistor R1. This turns transistor Q1 on, provides drive to transistor Q2, and we have the output in a low state when the circuit is dark. The circuit is specified, the resistor values are chosen and so forth to provide an output low of less than 4/10 of a volt when the device is sinking 10 mils in the output. Now, as the photodevice is illuminated, photocurrent flows through the photodiode and turns transistor Q1 off. This might be considered to be a stealing of base drive, which must, or at least detraction from the base drive that must flow through resistor R1, or a shorting of Q1, however it's convenient for you to think of it. But Q1 is turned off, this turns Q2 off, and the output is returned through a resisted pull-up of 2,000 ohms to the plus 5 volt supply. A similar circuit, which will be shown later, is used for the negative logic case of high output with the light present. This slide describes the photodiode characteristics. There is a scale change here. The positive side of the characteristic waveform or axis represents 1 volt per division, while we have 10 volts in the reverse, so the forward drop up here is not 7 volts. This shows that in the dark situation, this device is essentially non-conductive and has a breakdown voltage of about 50 to 60 volts. As the device is illuminated, the reverse waveform displaces downward, which we recognize as reverse conduction in a diode. This is extremely linear with respect to input illumination and provides the opportunity for linear applications as well as the digital situation which we're discussing at this time. The spectral response of the total system, of course, is fixed by the spectral response of the photodiode, which is the typical silicon 9 spectral response we have shown here, peaking at about 900 nanometers or 9/10 of a micron. This slide shows a single element photosensor, the OH100, as it's referred to by Central Lab. You can see here's the high 1.5 megohm resistor. There's a lead frame with a photodiode attached on top. The photodiode is in turn connected to the base of transistor Q1. There's the output transistor and the output wave. I guess this is the output output signal. The right side of this picture shows the business end of this particular circuit encapsulated with an epoxy case and has been tipped so that you can see the photodiode in place on the lead frame at the top. These substrates are then assembled in an optically clear epoxy, and this is a picture of a finished OH100. It might be observed that more recently a bit of a lensing effect has been provided, and this has resulted in increased sensitivity on the order of 3 to 1. Use of a phototransistor in place of the photodiode with the phototransistor's inherent gain also has the effect of improving sensitivity, but you give up some linearity, and the temperature effects and the time stability are a little less known for the phototransistor situation. This is a data sheet which briefly describes the OH100, the single element device, the OH900, which is the 9-channel tape reader, and the OH1200, 12 data channel card reader. Basically, the specifications are given in terms of about 4 characteristics: sensitivity, or the threshold in terms of radiant intensity at which the device switches, and for multiple cell or multiple channel cases, the match of sensitivity among all channels, a min to max ratio. Also, we have maximum output voltage or minimum output voltage in the high case to be greater than 4.5 volts, maximum low state voltage less than 4/10 of a volt when sinking 10 mils, and rise and fall time spec'd at less than 1 microsecond and typically 500 to 600 nanoseconds. In addition to this, the characterization of the device includes a form factor F, which we can understand from this next slide. Next slide shows the output waveform, output voltage, as a function of input radiant intensity. The sensitivity threshold of the device has been arbitrarily defined as being halfway between the on and off condition. Now you note, as you may have determined from the prior circuit, that this really is a linear circuit which involves some linear transition region. And so the sensitivity threshold has been set to be that voltage, 2.5 volts, that intensity which causes the output to be at 2.5 volts. The ideal waveform is shown, of course, by this vertical waveform for the digital situation. The departure of the actual from this ideal is defined in terms of a form factor which considers the voltage, or pardon me, the intensity over which this linear portion obtains as a function of the, or a proportion of the sensitivity threshold. If we were to use a formula, this factor F would be equal to the sensitivity threshold plus the difference between S2 and S1, the sum over the sensitivity threshold. Typically, the numbers are about 1.05. They run as low as 1.01 and are specified to be a maximum of 1.1. This would indicate that the linear region here is very small. Now, the circuit does lend itself to the addition of some positive feedback to provide hysteresis in the switching area if this is of interest. But normally this is not included. This slide depicts in block diagram form an approach that can be taken with the thick film circuit to provide an active trim. A calibrated and regulated light source is impinged upon the optohybrid circuit under test, and active laser trimming is applied until the output voltage reaches the threshold and correspondence of this threshold with the desired sensitivity input causes the control circuit to activate and the laser trimmer to be turned off. As I previously mentioned, this approach is especially advantageous in attaining a very close match of multiple channel situations. The output rise time, which may be of interest in a TTL load situation, depends, of course, on a fairly sharp light pulse being supplied to the device. Otherwise, we get a situation which, if we gradually apply the light, the device will follow the light source through the linear range. But if we assume a step function input, this waveform, which has a 0.5 microsecond per division time scale along the horizontal direction, indicates a rise time on the order of 600 nanoseconds. It might be well to point out at this point that the approach, which is really what we're talking about, of photosensitive devices and circuitry, can be adapted to whatever circuit might be necessary for the application, and certainly could include means to obtain a faster rise time if this were required, or even to provide a line driver type circuitry within the package. This is the negative logic circuit, which is also available in the three configurations previously shown. And the negative logic circuit involves essentially the same elements, except this first transistor is now an NPN instead of PNP, such that we require conduction through the photodiode to bias this transistor on and turn this one on. Now we have an output low in the presence of light. If we summarize then, optohybrid has many applications or potential applications as card reader, tape readers, and optical character recognition elements where we're limited only by the geometry and the complexity that we can obtain on the photosensitive element. And I'm sure that our next speaker will have more to say about some possibilities there. Optohybrids have application as control devices and detection of position and motion, tape loop sensing, beginning and end of tape, and a number of encoders, including airborne altimeters. Density and ruggedness are important. Among the advantages are the low noise pickup associated with having the circuitry right at the sensor. We can tailor the output to whatever we'd like to have, and in most cases, such as a card and tape reader, we want a digital output, so that compatibility has been discussed for purposes of illustration today. Internal amplification gives high sensitivity, and active trimming possibility provides the opportunity to match channels very closely. The silicon sensor is very compatible with either a light-emitting diode or incandescent source, and I expect that as the economics favor this situation, we'll see more and more application of LEDs. Certainly, the approach of photosensitive devices and hybrid circuitry is very versatile and lends itself to many applications. The device is offers the user convenience in that it's small in size and weight. It gets a complete subsystem. It can be very cost competitive with discrete interface circuitry, and in many cases provides a direct retrofit with situations already in the field. So optohybrids, in the opinion of Central Lab Semiconductor, are a great way to go. Thank you, gentlemen.
You didn't mention anything about the temperature stability of the device. How stable are they over wide temperature ranges?
There's very little in the circuit itself to provide temperature compensation, except that the temperature effect on the photodiode current somewhat compensates the temperature sensitivity of the first transistor. So without having any numbers to talk about, the devices are relatively stable and have not exhibited any problems in this regard over the commercial temperature range of 0 to 75. Threshold will shift slightly.
You mentioned in passing the possibility of a monolithic system. How much different are the deposition and diffusion processes for making the phototransistor or photodiode from making the rest of the transistors?
In order to obtain the proper photosensitivity, the diffusion on the photosensitive device must be very carefully controlled and rather shallow. This makes it difficult to come up with a monolithic photosensitive device. The thoughts I had concerning versatility, ease of prototyping, and so forth were really comparing hybrid circuitry for the interface rather than a monolithic chip as interface with a discrete photodiode chip or phototransistor. I think there is on the market one device which claims monolithic photosensitivity, the amplifier right in the device. It's feasible, but it isn't easy. And I would expect, depending on the types of devices included, you may well end up with a device which had some speed limitations and other compromises.
This slide tape lecture was an IEEE activity in continuing education for its members.